Welcome into the fourth annual World Series of Xavier podcast here at Hayden Field. Rick Broering, and I am with the toughest interview in Xavier basketball history to get, one Jonathan Paul Makura. JP, it's your senior year. How much do you hate the media at this point, would you say?
Honestly, I love the media a lot.
Well, why do you dislike talking to us so much?
No, I like talking to you guys. I'm just a busy man, you know. It's hard to find some free time to talk to you guys, but I love you guys.
So, do you feel like in your senior year we're gonna hear a little bit more from JP this year?
Yeah.
You're gonna be a little more vocal?
Yeah, you probably will. I'll have a little bit more time on my hands. You'll hear from me.
Okay, you were one of the team captains for this year's event. What was your drafting strategy like? How did you go about selecting this team?
I mean, first off, I want to say that we're going to break this open a little bit. We're going to push it to about a 10-run lead here pretty soon.
Well, it's 3-3 right now.
Yeah, I know. Our bats aren't really working for us right now, but we had a little team strategy in the dugout. We had a team strategy in the dugout, and I think we'll be ready.
How's your summer going?
Oh, it's wonderful. I've been putting a lot of work in. Been doing a lot of yoga, some jiu-jitsu. It's been great.
Jiu-jitsu, you seem like a fighter. How's that been going?
Actually, I'm a lover, to be honest with you. I don't really like to fight. I'm a lover.
You've had a chance to see some of these younger guys, some of the freshmen come in since they've been on campus.
Yeah.
Has anyone stood out to you so far?
I mean, all of them stood out in a different type of way. You know, they're great, great players, hardworking players as well. I mean, everybody brings a little bit something different to the table. But I'm happy where we're at right now. We just got to gel and come a little closer before the season starts.
You guys made that run last year in the postseason, reaching the Elite Eight. Trayvon decides to come back. You're back for his senior year. Obviously, Quentin's got another year under his belt. Sean's a senior. How confident, how excited is this group after what you accomplished last year to come back and kind of have the group back together?
Extremely confident in our guys. You know, we got some experienced guys, and making it to the Elite Eight really helps us a ton. So going into the season, we'll have obviously some new guys, but I think the people who have been there and done everything before can lead in a great way.
What's going to be the biggest change in your game this year? Like, what are you trying to add or show people maybe for the next level? What are fans going to see out of JP Makura this year that's different from past years?
Probably being able to handle the ball a little better and creating shots for myself, because sometimes I dribble a little bit too much and get stuck and have to pass right away. And just being more vocal, a vocal leader for the team as well. I talked to the guys a lot last year, but I think I can always improve being a leader and continue to get better on the defensive end as well.
All right, and also interviews. You're doing a lot more media interviews this year too,
yeah.
Right? You already mentioned that.
A lot more interviews.
All right.
Yeah.
JP, we'll let you get back to the team. I appreciate you stopping by today, and good luck this year.
See, look. It's about to be 10 runs. Watch.
Two runs. That's better.
Right.
Thanks, JP.
Yep.
All right. From one senior to another, we are here with Sean O'Mara, captain of the other team. You and Trayvon Blewett were captains. Now, I talked to JP about how he put his team together. Tell me about your squad. What were you looking to do there at the top of the draft?
Well, honestly, I think there was a little bit of foul play going on with Coach Mack being the number one pick, having to go to JP's team. But I didn't see any coin toss. I don't know how the decision for the first pick was decided. So once that happened, we were kind of playing on our heels the entire rest of the play because we're all looking for the same positions. But when it came down to it, I think we went more the route of unseen but more heard talent amongst the locker room talk.
Yeah, high upside guys.
Yeah, high upside potentially.
Yeah.
So we're seeing how it plays out so far. We've seen a few gems here and there, but right now we got to pick it up a little bit. We got to get the bats moving a little bit. I think we'll be all right and obviously take care of some of these errors.
Well, I don't hate the move. And I'll be honest, before we had JP on, it was 3-3. So the little podcast mojo got them 7 runs. You guys are up to bat now. It looks like you're starting to do some things here. No outs yet. And you've already scored 1 run in the inning. So there you go. 2 runs now. Look at that.
2 runs. There we go.
Elias.
Yeah, I might have to stay over here until I'm up to bat.
Yeah.
So I might just hang out with you guys for the rest of the day.
We just saw Elias Harden score. Tell me about some of these young guys. You've seen some of these freshmen come in now, and you're just going through workouts and things like that. It's a totally different ballgame once they get into practice and have to start understanding concepts. But what have you seen from these guys in workouts? Talk about Najee Marshall first.
Yeah, Najee's uber talented. He's one of those freshmen that comes in, and you see him in open gym and you're like, wow, he can do some things that you have either never seen or never seen a teammate of yours do, at least. So he's really athletic. He's really long. He can handle the ball, shoot a little bit. I mean, it's he's doing a lot of everything right now, especially in open gym. So I'm excited once he starts to figure out how the system works and tries to get more implemented into his role and on the team and everything and how it's going to work out for the season. He's going to be really good for us, I think.
And we just saw Elias Harden there. What have you seen from him? Obviously really thin at this point. He's had some weight, but what's he looked like in workouts?
I love playing with him. In workouts, he's a really skilled point guard, or not really point guard, kind of shooting guard, but ability to handle the ball like a point guard, which is good. Especially with, you know, our depth right now and how it looks at that position. But, you know, it's, we got guys that, especially E, that are really good shooters, and he's really good at getting downhill, first step guys. I think E and Jared have shown kind of the lost art of a little bit of a mid-range. They're a lot of one-step dribble pull-up guys, so they're hitting it very consistently.
And Jared, obviously known for his shooting ability. You mentioned Jared Ritter. He looks like he's bulking up a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think he's going to be able to handle the physicality and rebounding and defending and stuff like that, it's assuming he's playing, you know, in the post at the four?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we're going to have him at the four, but we'll see kind of how Coach Mack wants to play that out. But, no, he's, like you said, he's an incredible shooter. He's knocked down when he's open, so that's what we're looking at him for on offense. And then he's, like I said, good enough to get a ball fake, one dribble pull-up where he needs it. And then defensively, you know, he's a freshman. He's got work to do, and he's, like you said, he's strong. He can rebound a little bit. But, you know, I think he's going to grow a little bit as the season goes on. You guys are still going to see some pretty good things from him.
And we talked about Elias needing to put on some weight right now, the guy at bat, Paul Scruggs. For a freshman, he's on the other side of things. He's so bulky. He's even had to slim down some. He's pretty impressive physically. What have you seen from Paul so far in workouts?
Yeah, he's strong. Him and Q, they got some battles in open gym. It's been fun to watch. You know, Q just got back after being injured for most of the summer, so he's trying to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah, but, controversy.
Yeah. You messed up the lineup, the order here or something?
Coach Murray batting out of order. Classic Coach Murray.
So, no, but they're both two strong point guards, and they're both, you know, downhill point guards too, which is nice. So they're both very skilled at finishing at the rim, and they're strong. So, and they're both good defenders, quick with their feet. So it's been some good battles in open gym. It's going to be exciting.
Going back to your sophomore season, you really finished strong in the postseason, had a great end to the year. Last year, I think it probably started a little slower than you would have expected or liked, and then you finished really strong again in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
What's the offseason been like for you? How are you trying to make sure you keep that momentum going into your senior year?
Playing as much as possible. You know, during the summer, we can work out and do all this stuff and get stronger physically and get in better shape. And I think I've capitalized that in most of my summers. But when it comes down to the playing portion, you got to stay in a rhythm. You got to keep your feel. And I think another big thing is keeping my confidence up. So, you know, obviously if I have a rough start to a game or something, I get my head down a little bit. But I'm trying to work on that. And I think come the end of the year, having a little more confidence being on the floor more helps a lot too. So once we kind of get rolling and I, you know, get the train rolling a little bit, I feel like I can pick it up a little bit more. But this year the whole goal is to keep that going from last year through the summer, which I've done so far, and into the next season. So got to stay confident.
All right. Well, I wish your teammates could have kept that inning going a little longer so I could have talked to you longer. But you got to get back out to the field. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. All right, we talked to some seniors. Now we turn the page to one of the sophomores on this team. And, Quentin, I don't know if too many freshmen have had the ride that you had last year where you're barely seeing the floor for a lot of the year, then you're thrust in the starting role, then you have to play every second of every game, then you're playing with a messed up foot, and you're in the Elite Eight. Yeah. What was that experience like for you, especially when you're getting in the postseason and you're making a serious run in the NCAA tournament, what you dreamed for, and you're having to play all 40 minutes?
You know, if you watched us last year, you know, we had a lot of ups and downs. And when Ed went out, you know, it was just my mentality that really got me through my foot pain. And, you know, we just collectively came together and played like a team. And that's why we made it to the Elite Eight, because we gelled quick. I mean, at one point we didn't have Trey or Ed, so we had to rely on each other. And when Trey came back, I mean, that just made it so much easier. So I feel like, you know, what made us successful is everybody was very unselfish, and we just played like a team.
What ended up being the issue with your foot, and where are you at now with it?
I tore my plantar fasciitis the same game and tore his ACL. So at first, I didn't even think I was hurt. I thought I was just being a baby, and like I didn't even pay really that much attention to it. I thought I was just being soft, and then I realized like we had a little break after a away game, and I was like, man, this is really hurting me. It was like a sharp pain, like I stepped like on a pin or something, and I got it checked out. But the thing was, I didn't get it checked out till after the season. So during that whole process, during the season, I was like, I don't know what's wrong with my foot. It was just a lot of pain. So after the season, I got it checked out. They said I tore some of my fibers. And I don't know. It was very, very, very painful.
Hey, you're back 100% now? Are you working out, practicing, everything?
I wouldn't say I'm back at 100%. We went to the doctor, I think, last week, last Thursday. He said I'm like 90, 95% healed. So I'm slowly coming back. I had my first workout last Monday, so it's just a slow process.
So you're getting back to workouts and everything at this mm-hmm. point now?
Yeah, this will probably be my first full week. I'm going to try to go a full week working out, but at the same time, they don't want me to come back too quick because, you know, the season ain't till like November. So the game plan is, you know, take it slowly. When August 4th hits, you know, I'm back home, try to go 100%, get back in good condition, get back in the gym consistently, and try to be a better player than I was last year.
I know, obviously, a lot of this offseason has been focused on rehabbing and getting back.
Right.
But what else did you learn last year? Did you take from that experience to say, I've got to work on this or I've got to improve this before I head into my sophomore season?
The main thing I realized I had to do is I had to be the coach on the floor. I had to be the leader everybody could go to. In the beginning of the season, I didn't really know what I was doing, so I was quiet. I was hesitant. And, you know, towards the end of the season, you know, March coming up with us being in a tournament, there wasn't no time for that. You know, one loss in your season's over. So I realized quickly, you know, becoming a better leader was one of the key things to being a winning team.
How difficult is that for a young guy, though, especially when you've got, you know, a Trayvon Blue and a J.P. McCura, some older guys on the roster? Is that a difficult transition to make as a young player?
You know, like you said, with the Trayvon Blues and the J.P. McCuras, you know, with their personality, it was kind of easy for me to, you know, gel with them and be that leader on the court that they needed me to be. You know, after the game, J.P. and Trey came up to me. It was like, it's your turn, you know. We don't want you to be nervous or anything, but you know it's your turn to take place of Ed, and we don't want you to go backwards. We're gonna always have your back, type of thing. And you know it was like a lot of words of encouragement, which made me feel better. Maybe gave me a lot of confidence. So with them being the leaders of this year, I feel like we're gonna have a much better season.
What were you guys all thinking when when Trayvon's going through the process of he's got his name in the draft, potentially going? What were you guys all thinking when he was making that decision?
I don't know about everybody else, but personally, I wanted to see Trey fulfill his dreams. You know, I never seen anybody have, you know, a March Madness tournament like that in my whole life. I mean, he was literally carrying the team, and he wasn't just doing scoring. You know, he was doing a lot of little things that didn't go in the box, score box, and that's what made us a better team. You know, Trey's the type of player that you can always go to for advice during the game or after the game. You know, Trey's always trying to help. So I wanted to see him fulfill his dreams. But when he came back, that really made me happy. It made my job a whole lot easier.
How much confidence does that give this group? Not just that he's back, but, I mean, when you look at it, obviously Malcolm Bernard was a big part of last year's run, too, and he's gone. But other than him, pretty much everyone that was playing serious minutes in the NCAA tournament last year is back for this year's run. How much confidence you guys have going because of that?
You know, from last summer to this summer, you could tell that we have so much confidence because we just know how each other play. You know, we know how to feed off each other. So, you know, with workouts and open gyms, we're competing. We're going at each other because, you know, there's some games that, you know, we're going to be the better team and we're going to have to play basically against each other and make each other better. So, you know, there's a lot of confidence, you can tell, especially with the new freshmen coming in. You got Paul Scruggs, you got Najee Marshall, you got Jared Ritter. Yeah, Elias Harden, and they're just tremendous athletes. They know how to play the game of basketball.
Last year you came in. I know a lot of people are talking about your athleticism and your strength and everything for a point guard. Now you've got a guy like Paul Scruggs coming in. Everyone's saying the same things about it. Mm-hmm. Sean O'Mara was just telling me he's looking forward to the battles between you two. Mm-hmm. Have you played with him a little bit already, or have you not really gotten that chance since your injury?
Yeah, we played a little bit together. You know, we're kind of like the same player. You know, Paul, you know, reminds me a lot of myself. But what Paul does really good, he finishes at the rim really well with either hand. So that makes him more of a threat, and he knows how to read the defense really well. So I see a lot of myself in Paul.
obviously, you know, last year your ability to get in the lane and come off screens and everything really stood out. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to start going underneath those screens and forcing you to be a shooter, as you know.
Right.
What's been your offseason like in terms of shooting? How much of a focus has that been for you?
It's been a big-time focus. You know, after the season, I went to Coach Steele's office, and we just talked, you know, if I want to be in the NBA, you know, I got to fix my jump shot. You know, I got to make it consistent. So the first thing we did was we changed my form. You know, I couldn't do nothing with my foot because I was in a boot. So what we started off by was just changing my form, you know, getting the gym, you know, just 30 minutes a day, just changing my form, trying to make that a habit. So after that came, I got my foot back, we started working on my feet. And then we, you know, we started in close, you know, like layups, and we don't ever go past like the free throw line. We just wanted a really consistent, you know, straight shot on the hinge, elbow tuck, you know, high shot. And we also worked on my touch, you know, with the floaters, because there's some games, you know, you had Justin Patton in the middle of the lane, and you couldn't shoot a regular floater. You had to shoot a regular layup. You had to shoot floaters or shoot it really high off the glass. So we just basically just been working on all around my shooting game.
How's that feel? I mean, because so much of shooting is just feeling comfortable and confident. Does it feel good now that you've done all that work?
Oh, yeah. After I changed it and I had my first workout last Monday and I saw my shots going in, it felt really comfortable. I had a lot of confidence. Coach Mack even said, you know, I shot the ball good. And he said it looked so much better. But, you know, during the process, you know, it's not perfect. You know, there's times where I went back to my old ways and I started dipping my shot every now and then. But as for right now, you know, the process is going really good.
All right, well, Q, the game is over, so I'll let you get there with your teammates, sign some autographs, and take some pictures with the kids. Right. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you.
All right, we've talked to some of the other seniors, but now we're going to talk to a new senior, Karim Kander, graduate transfer. Karim, you've been around now. When did you arrive on campus?
I arrived about 5 weeks ago.
You arrived about 5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Well, so what's it like since you've been here in Cincinnati?
It's been really fun. I really like the city. I like the players. I like the coaching staff. I like the university. And I'm doing my master's program and playing basketball at the same time. So it's been fun.
When you were trying to decide where to transfer to, what stood out about Xavier? What did you like about here?
Well, my visit was the main factor. I really enjoyed being around the players and being the fact that they know how to win, and they've been really fun in the tournament last year. That's one thing I didn't do at Green Bay. You know, individually, I was, you know, having good numbers, but one thing I wanted to do, I wanted to get a deep run in the tournament, and hopefully we can do that at Xavier this year.
You played at Green Bay, as you mentioned. People from around here, some of them got the chance to see you. I was an NKU grad, so I saw you when you came and tore up NKU at BB&T Arena and played really well. Did the familiarity with coming to this area at all, did that give you any comfortability, or did that not really factor in at all?
Yeah, I didn't know NKU was really close, but my brother also went to school in Kentucky, so I'm pretty familiar with the place.
Yeah. Talk about some of these guys. You obviously, Sean O'Mara's in the post with you, Tyreek Jones. What do you think about sort of the post tandem you guys have here and those three guys with yourself?
Yeah, I mean, definitely they're both good players, and they'll probably take the pressure off me at times. One thing at Green Bay, I was the main focus, and I was getting, you know, a lot of times I was getting double team, and scouting was mainly on me too. So being the fact that we have so many great players on this team, it's going to, you know, everyone's going to get a double team. Everyone's going to be able to showcase themselves.
Yeah, obviously, I got to see you play some. You have a skilled game for a big guy. What do you think, you know, describe your game, though, for fans who haven't seen you. What do you think you bring to the table and do the best on the court?
I'm a versatile player. I can do a lot of things on the court, you know, whether that's scoring the ball, grabbing the rebound. One thing I got to work on is on my defense. But offensively, I can pretty much do whatever my coach asks me to do. You know, I even brung up the ball a few times at Green Bay, and I'm comfortable doing that too. So yeah.
Obviously, I know probably your goal is, like you said, make a run in the NCAA tournament and then probably play at the next level in some capacity. What sort of been your biggest focus in terms of what you want to improve on your game since you've left Green Bay?
Well, one thing I wanted when I came to Xavier is that I wanted to be seen. You know, even though I was putting up great numbers, you know, Green Bay is a mid-major, and it's a great program, but Horizon League isn't the biggest conference out there. So I wanted to compete against, you know, the bigs that are in Big East. And I wanted to work on my defense and show people that I can play at the level where guys that are 7 feet, you know, guys that are ready to go to the league, because we didn't really have that in Green Bay in the Horizon League.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking some time to talk to me, and good luck this season, all right?
Thank you.
All right. We talked to the other seniors. You know we had to get this guy on here. Trayvon Blewett, this is your fourth softball game now, right? You've played in all of them.
Yep.
You were one of the captains today. Took a tough loss, 11-6. But you're also working. There was a little bit of cheating going on, from what I understand, with the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys probably aren't happy about that. So, tough subject. We won't bring it up.
Right.
Tell me about this offseason. You had a little bit of a decision to make. Obviously, Xavier fans have been talking about that for a while. Tell me, what was it like when you're going through the process again this year? You're working out for teams, and you're making that decision leading up to the draft. What was kind of your thought process?
Pretty much the same as the year previously. Just wanted to go test the waters. You know, maybe this year more than I did last year. Just thinking I had a chance or whatnot. But it just mainly just wanted to get that feedback again. I know mainly they wanted me to, you know, kind of form my body up a lot better. So I try to make sure that that's what I had tuned up when I went up there. So I wanted to get more in depth on what else I needed to work on to make it to the next level. So, you know, kind of throughout the whole thing, kind of just taking it all in, not as nerve-wracking as the year previously. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
What does – when you play like you did in the NCAA tournament last year, where, I mean, quite honestly, you were playing out of your mind. I mean, you were just great the entire NCAA tournament. Does that make it more difficult to make that decision in the sense that do you start thinking, I may never play that well again for a stretch like that on that big of a stage? Or is it more of a thing like, hey, I played this well on that stage, I could take it to another level even maybe next year?
Yeah, I think it would be, you know, just realizing what you did at the end of the season and then just kind of thinking about, you know, what more you can do, you know. I looked at it kind of as being like, you know, I had a pretty good performance, pretty good showing through that tournament. So it was kind of like I kind of went based off that as opposed to, you know, just saying that this is the best that I'm going to play. Who knows if I'm going to play like that? You know, again, I was just more about, you know, how confident I was in making that decision.
I had Coach Mack on a live podcast a month or so ago at Dana Gardens, and we were just talking about the run that you guys made in the NCAA tournament and how, you know, leading up to, obviously, you had the injury, so that kind of slowed the season down at one point in Big East play. But that a lot of people from the outside just didn't see the run coming. He said you guys knew you were kind of close all along, that you were better than what you had been showing during Big East play. What clicked, in your opinion, on the court for you guys to take it from that team that had lost 5-6 in a row in Big East play, that team that made the run to the Elite Eight? What was the biggest difference?
I think it was just facing reality. I know specifically which game it was. It was the DePaul game, our last one of the season. And, you know, we just knew that we weren't in a good position as far as the tournament just because we lost 6 in a row. So we knew that game there was a do-or-die game. And, you know, I feel like all year when we're faced with adversity, like a do-or-die situation, we're always going to come out on top. So knowing that we had to kind of win that DePaul game to save our chances for the tournament, I feel like that game in particular is when we started to click, and then we just kept that going throughout the Big East and on forward through the tournament.
What was the chemistry like with you and JP? Because it seemed like, I mean, you guys have been teammates for a while, and you've made plays in the past before, but during that run, you two specifically seemed like, not only did you both take your games individually to another level, but you were also making plays for each other, for teammates, that maybe not that you hadn't necessarily done the rest of the season. Did you feel like you found another level of chemistry together between you two?
Yeah, you know, I think that we kind of grew a lot in the postseason, as funny as it is. That's probably the most that we've ever grown together as far as our bond. Like I said, just when we're faced with that do-or-die situation, you know, we try to give it everything we got. And he knows that he has to be at his best for me to be at my best, and it's the same way around. You know, we got to push each other, hold each other accountable, and we knew that, you know, it was going to take both of us, both of our best efforts to get where we end up going.
What has the rest of your offseason been like after you made the decision to come back? What have you been doing since then?
Pretty much just down here just, you know, going through the motions, practice, lifting, schoolwork, the basics, just making sure I really focus in on the weight room this year, just keep adding away to what I need to work on, and, you know, just sharpening up my game as well.
Yeah, I know in past years, you know, there's been, like, your body has always been a big focus. You want to get your body right. In the past, you talk about ball handling, different things that you needed to improve. When you get to the point where you got to last year where, you know, you've really rounded out a lot of your skill set, is it more of just a thing where you're maintaining and just trying to make sure you're as sharp as possible, or are there still new parts to your game that you're trying to add to it?
I feel like there's still new parts, you know, and that's where synergy is a big help, you know, just because you can go back and look at certain parts of your game offensively or defensively on, you know, what you did well in and what you didn't do well in. So I tried to make synergy my best friend this summer and just kind of picked my game apart through there and just, you know, find out, you know, what I didn't do well. And I try to sharpen, I try to, you know, improve on that. And then the ones I did do well in, I just try to keep and maintain that.
Yeah, obviously synergy, cloud service where you can watch basically every play. It's broken down into individual plays. It tells you, you know, like what your percentage of scoring or assist rate is coming off of ball screens, things like that. It's very specific with stats and video. I know the coaches, that they're, you know, they're on it all the time. How much are you guys as players? How much do you use that as a tool?
You know, I think we use it a fair amount. Whether it's we're going upstairs with the coaches to watch synergy, or whether it's, you know, them giving us their account and letting us watch what we need to watch. I think guys take advantage of that opportunity just because we're more of a film-based team. You know, we like watching film of opponents and film of ourselves to know what we need to do better. So I think, you know, we've kind of taken advantage of that.
All right. I've talked to everyone that I've had on here. I've talked to about the freshmen and the incomers, the new guys. So no one's getting left out here. You don't have to single anyone out. But give me one thing that stood out to you about one of the new guys.
Just their toughness, you know, just they didn't come in acting like freshmen. They knew they came in and played the part. You know, it was kind of, you know, with having like four new freshmen coming in, it actually went pretty well trying to get them into learning our new system and stuff like that. You know, just they want to learn, they're eager to play. You know, it doesn't matter who they step in front of, you know, whether it's a four-year starter or it's a new person. I feel like they go at whoever, and that's something that we need for our team.
All right, Trey, I really appreciate you taking the time to join me, man.
Thanks for having me.
To wrap this podcast up, we have a special guest, Coach Jennings. Coach, how's the offseason going?
Offseason going great, Rick. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
You don't have an offseason, do you?
Never an off season.
So, guys got to campus when?
First session summer school started May the 15th, and we had half of our program here at that time. And then the second session of summer started June the 24th, and that's when we had our whole roster back.
So take me through the process. What type of things? I mean, is there like different, are you doing different workouts or working on different things early in the offseason versus when you get closer to the season? Or how's this work? How do you guys approach that?
Yeah, we have a four-season approach to training. And obviously the offseason is very important for us right now. That'll roll right into our preseason training, which will be, you know, roughly 5 to 6 weeks. And then that obviously rolls into our in-season training. And I always try to emphasize that our in-season training needs to be just as good as our off-season training, because that's half the year. That's our competitive season. And then obviously that rolls into our postseason, you know, play and our postseason training. But to answer your question, you know, it's really important. It's almost like reverse hibernation, like in a bear. A bear, if it hibernates in the summer, right? We've got to hibernate in the weight room. We've got to live in the weight room, live at the training table. We've got to live in sports medicine. We've got to get our bodies in the best shape as possible. We have to be selfish. We have to take care of ourselves so much that when the ball tips, you know, October, November, you know, we're at the most competitive advantage we can be. You know, health, safety, wellness of the student athlete is job number one for us. And so our whole philosophy and our whole program, our whole mission, obviously it follows suit of our basketball position, our basketball coach. You know, our Coach Mac, you know, obviously wants our guys to be tough and fearless and attacking and great teammates. And that same philosophy and that same ethos, you know, falls in the weight room as well. So everything we do in the summer, you know, we want to be tough, we want to attack, we want to be fearless, we want to be great teammates, and we just preach that same message. We don't dilute the message of the head coach. And our guys have done a really good summer so far. We're in week 12 right now, finishing up this last week, and it's been really productive, really good.
I imagine, you know, a lot of things is focused on team and growing together and doing all that type of stuff.
Sure.
But you have to be individualized, I would imagine, with some of these guys. Like certain guys
sure.
need different things. How does that work in terms of determining individual needs?
Yeah, it starts with a mentality. So we want to have the most confident, you know, individual mentality we can and be selfish as possible. In the same sense, there's got to be a team setting and a team identity. So Team 96, that identity needs to be formed somewhat in the weight room in the summer. You know, the coaches, you know, have a great input on on what our team, you know, the culture's like and what our team identity and team dynamics are. But obviously in the summer, all the teamwork is done essentially in the weight room. Now, the coaching staff will have, you know, some morning team workouts, some individual sessions with our guys. But for the most part, the summer, the team identity is formed in the weight room. And then that flip-flops and it's flipped on its head in season where all the in-season work is done on the court and all the individual type work is done with me in the weight room behind the scenes. But to answer your question, yes, there are individual plans in a team setting. So part of what we do in our summer plan or our plan of attack for our student athletes is we do yearly assessments, functional movement screens to pinpoint, you know, all of our players are individuals. You know, everybody has individual ranges of motions and different, you know, different needs assessments, you know, different sports medicine histories, different injury histories, et cetera. And we'll pinpoint those needs and wants and we'll address those in an individual setting. In a team setting, if that makes any sense. So each player will have an individual type workout session in a team setting. Now, there are certain things as a team we need to all get better at. And there are certain things we do together as a team before we break off and do more individual type training that you allude to. But our summer, in a nutshell, is very extensive. Going back to your previous question, if you want me to give you a rundown real quick, like what our week looks like.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Our Monday starts with breakfast. We use local catering services around town to help us out, and we have a great relationship. A lot of people in the Cincinnati area that help us. So don't know if you want me to plug groups right now or how this works, but you know.
No free advertisements.
Exactly.
So, you can tell.
First Watch has been taking care of us for breakfast. We've used other locations, you know, Original Pancake House, Montgomery. We've gone, you know, local in the first session, especially when I mentioned that there's only a few of our student athletes on campus. You know, obviously, if our guys are in great academic standing, have good social standing, you know, Coach Mack will allow those guys to go home for first session. If guys, you know, once again, you know, Jared Ritter's a freshman, came in, need to get a jump on the curve there, need to get ahead of the curve. He came in early, but so we had a smaller group first session, so we were taking guys actually, you know, as small groups to places like Bluebird Restaurant down here in Norwood took care of us really well. We'd rotate breakfast, you know, sugar and spice every now and then. First Watch, like I said, has been good to us. So breakfast always starts on Monday. Typically, I'll go pick things up, bring in, set up in the fuel station, cater it, so to speak. So breakfast, that rolls into basically like our mobility session, which is our dynamic warm-up before we lift, before we train. And once again, you know, Xavier's a great place to be. The administration supports the weight room. Coach Mack supports the weight room. And we have the ability to go out and contract with the other individuals in the town to help us, you know, help our guys. So my best idea for improved mobility and increased flexibility and joint, you know, laxity, et cetera, to help our guys get loose. We employed an instructor, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor, essentially. My assistant, Coach Lehrman, practices jiu-jitsu, and we went to his academy and interviewed a few of his, you know, instructors. And once again, we want to find the right people with the right temperament, you know, the right attitude, the right, you know, same to share our mission and goal with our guys. And Randall Burton has been from Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, has been helping us out. So he comes in for about half an hour, and we get our tumbling mats out. Each guy has an individual tumbling mat. Shoes are off. And once again, it's not grappling. It's not hand-to-hand combat. It's nothing, you know, submissive. It's guys moving. It's guys, you know, trying to, you know, be fluid like water and move in a certain range of motion in different planes. And our guys are just trying to get loose and get moving around. So that's our mobility warm-up, you know, workout before we even lift. And then we roll right to the weight room. So that's half an hour of mobility, an hour worth of lifting. So, you know, the lifting, once again, teamwork, individual session, about an hour. We try to get done by 11 o'clock every day. And then we go right to, you know, me going to Kroger in Oakley. Chef D there has really helped us out. Our Kroger sponsorship, et cetera, helps us. I pick up lunch every day there, bring it back, cater that. Guys eat lunch, and then they're essentially done with me. So my morning block from, you know, by the time I'm at First Watch at 8:30 in the morning, by the time I'm done, you know, serving lunch at 12:30 every day, we get a lot of work done in those 4 hours. And that's two meals and all of our training. And then obviously our weekly schedule expands from there. The guys have sports medicine, you know, appointments, academic appointments, you know, individual appointments with coaches, you know, individual shooting with the GAs, individual work on their own. So it's pretty full. So that's just our Monday. And our Wednesday replicates our Monday. And our Friday replicates our Monday, Wednesday, except for the one thing we add on Friday is we do yoga. Lori Allen Yoga. Lori has done a phenomenal job helping our guys out. We first had her work with Kaiser Gates late in the last, you know, end of last season and in our postseason. And we parlayed that into a summer experience with Lori. She comes on Fridays at 2:30. And takes our guys through a yoga session for an hour, hour and 15 minutes. And that's really the closing the door, the bookend to the week of let's start, you know, unwinding, relaxing, working on deep belly breathing, Deep diaphragmatic breathing, you know, be honest with you, some relaxation techniques, some visualization techniques, so actually flexibility, mobility, et cetera, again. And that's how we close the book on our Friday. So our Monday, Wednesday, Fridays are very scripted with, you know, meals, breakfast and lunch, you know, mobility and weightlifting, and then yoga on Fridays. And our Tuesday, Thursdays are a little bit different, where we let our guys rest a little bit more in the morning. We just provide them the lunch. But we use our partnership with Ignition Athletes Performance Group up in Mason, and we bring those guys down here to help us with our speed, agility, quickness, athleticism development. And the Ignition guys will come help me as I'm coaching them up in the sand pit. We typically go outside on Tuesdays in the sand and do our speed, agility, quickness, you know, athleticism. And then on Thursdays, we'll actually bus our guys or van our guys up to Ignition and Mason and use their facility. They have an enormous turf facility, a lot of different tools and and technology and whatnot we can use. We've gotten into more like hand-to-hand conditioning, hand-to-hand combat, so to speak. Ben Creamer, all these Ignition guys work with the Bengals as well. So we're trying to, once again, parlay the experience of strength in Cincinnati, which is all outstanding, bring that in-house for us in the summer, give our guys a different experience, give our guys, other experts that they can lean on. Once again, the message is never diluted, and it's the same message I'm giving our guys. They just hear it from different people, different people. So I'm with them year-round, 50 weeks out of the year, so to speak. And once again, they can keep tuning me in, and they can keep tuning other people in. And it's a good experience. We had, I was using that relationship to bring A.J. Green was in our weight room last Thursday. He got to see our guys train. They got to see him train. So we can have other professionals in town and use our facility, which is really, obviously, really nice, our new weight room, and parlay that relationship. Our Thursdays, like I said, are similar. We go up to Mason on Thursdays. We also then use the cryo chamber, Arctic Blast, which is up in that Mason area. We've been using them. Last year, we went to Griffin Elite out by 275.
Shout out to Griffin Elite.
Exactly.
My guy.
Those guys are awesome out there. The bridge work and the construction and the traffic was a really big factor in us trying to move that way. We felt like it would take a really long time to get there and back. So that's where we move things up to Mason on Thursdays. But once again, we'll revisit that relationship as we move forward. But once again, a lot of people are really good to our program. I try to build relationships with the community. A lot of people obviously want to be associated with Winners and Xavier's that way. But we want to be really good to those people as well and give them the business. And, the cryo chamber has been a technology for recovery we've been using for the last, 3 or 4 years. And we're always willing to take a look at those things and research, other, recovery technologies and, once again, sleep technologies, compression technologies, et cetera. Obviously, nutrition, hydration, rest is big for us. But we're always willing to take a look at what we're doing outside. And once again, we're not experts at everything. We try to be, but we're going to find the smartest guy in the room. If we're not, we're going to figure out what works for our guys.
Sounds like, like you said, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, especially, so scripted. You
sure
have meals set out for them and everything else. I imagine it's pretty easy for the guys to be disciplined and doing the right things during those moments when they're
right
with you. How difficult or how much of an issue it is when they're on their own time, that dinner meal by themselves? Are guys at this level so locked in that they're going to take care of themselves no matter what, or is that a struggle?
Yeah, they're not. They're 18 to 22 year old college kids, and you and I are both that same age a long time ago. And
I still can't do it.
And I can't either. Once again, you want to have a routine and a discipline. And everybody's not going to be motivated all the time, 24/7. But at least you could maybe have a little bit of discipline and try to teach that. We were big on education. Once again, I've used this summer for myself and my staff to develop. And every week we've tried to bring in some sort of outside expert to help us get better at what we do. We have a nutrition sponsorship or nutrition relationship with Infinite Nutrition and Blue Ash, so we lean on those guys to help us. My assistant, Coach Lehrman, went to Ashland University, really outstanding nutrition program there. Their director of nutrition came down and spoke to us for a couple hours, a little in-session, a little in-service. Dr. Ted Lambertini's in town, real local legend in the strength and conditioning field, came over, had an in-service with us. We've had Josh Hagan from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, one of their excess physiologists that works with the military, come down and talk to us and try to educate us on what's new and what's latest and greatest. Beyond Exercise, another company in town, Eric Oliver, does a great job. He's been an exercise physiologist that helps us, help us to understand things. He's what takes takes care of our guys with our functional movement screen assessments. Really smart people in town, and we utilize those guys. Like I said, we try to be experts. Like I say, we can't all the time, but we're going to find people that are. But go back to your question, answer that. It's hard to be disciplined 24/7. We try to give the guys the foundation, the groundwork. We want to educate, leave them with good tidbits, information. Anything we can do to provide other meals for them, other supplementation, anything on the weekend, we'll do that for sure. But in the bottom line, it's left up to them to hold each other accountable, hold themselves accountable. Unfortunately, we can't be with them 24/7. We are. They're designated you know, parents or parental units on the outside here when they're away from their mom and dad, and we're charged with giving them the best, you know, health care that we can. And part of that is, you know, that education branch of it, and we take that very seriously, and we want to implement that, and we want to do that. But once again, we're leaving that up to them to take the knowledge and go out and apply that with what we've taught them. And it can be hit or miss sometimes. You know, I'm completely transparent, completely honest with that. It's not always ideal, but I think our guys once again have that attacking mentality and do the best they can with what they have. They do.
Going back to the individualism thing, with guys like a J.P. McCarron and a Trayvon Blewett,
sure,
who are, they've been in the program for mm-hmm. 4 years now. You know, Trayvon, ever since he got on campus, it's been, let's get him in better shape, let's make his
right.
body look a certain way. Last year, he looked really trim. You know, J.P., mm-hmm. he's been trying to bulk up and get stronger, everything else.
Right.
His body looked like he was in a pretty good place last year. So what do you talk about with those guys going into this offseason? Is it more of a, like, let's just fine-tune this, or do they still have these goals that they're trying to achieve?
It's still goal-oriented, and once again, it's an effort-based program. You know, everything we do at Xavier is based on effort. We just ask our guys to, you know, once again, roll up their sleeves, get their hands dirty, just walk in the door ready to train. I've got my expertise. I've got my professional plan in place. I'm going to meet them in the middle. You know, we're going to go places together. So the plan's in place. The roadwork's there. They just have to follow the map. And once again, you know, the guys do a really good job with that. Each guy, individual differences, like you said. You know, we always address goals. We're a goal-setting program as well. You know, you have a goal, we'll sit down, we'll talk about it. You know, with JP, you know, once again, summer's a good time for him to get stronger. He can put on that strength and that mass and that weight, because once he starts, you know, the volume of intensity and volume of work decreases in the season. So we go from, you know, 3, 4, 5 days a week in the summer to then, you know, maybe 2 days, 3 days in the preseason, and obviously 2 days or 3 days in the in season. We don't have an hour and a half. We maybe have 30 minutes. So obviously there's going to be a little bit of a drop off. Maintenance is a big word, in my opinion. You know, a lot of people talk about maintaining in season. That's a four-letter word for us. Our guys, you know, once again, want to get stronger. Our preseason testing, post-season testing numbers, we test really well in the postseason, which means we're really training hard in season. And like I said before, you got a 5-6 month in season program. It better be good. You know, it better be daggum good enough that you're going to get stronger, you know, towards March and April when we want to peak, obviously, and play well. But those guys are going to goal set. We're going to goal set with them in the weight room, goal set with the coaches. And the goal setting process is easy because we can put that on paper. You know, the execution, you know, simple is not always easy, Rick, and execution cannot be, you know, can be difficult sometimes. But if we're going to set a goal and we're going to ask our guys to, you know, to be accountable to that goal, and we're going to ask our guys to sacrifice something for that goal. So, obviously, it could be something socially. It could be you don't want to sacrifice basketball or academics, obviously, but there's usually social is what you have to sacrifice. And then, once again, if you're sacrificing that, then who's going to hold you accountable? Is that me? Is that a teammate? Is that a coach? So we always try to goal set, try to figure out what you're going to sacrifice, try to figure out who's going to hold you accountable, and that's usually a pretty good recipe for success for us.
Just looking at some of the freshmen that have been on campus,
yeah.
Where are they at physically, and what are they working on?
Sure. Really outstanding group of freshmen. The guys have been really receptive, really coachable. You know, let's call it like it is. You know, most of our basketball players don't really see a weight room before they come to college. And once again, we don't get a lot of guys that are cross-training with, you know, other sports, you know, football, wrestling, track, whatever, that see the weight room. Most of these guys are playing basketball year-round. The softball game's a really good indicative, you know, measure of guys' athleticism. You got some guys that are really good athletes that can cross over in sports. You got guys that really struggle, and you can see that because, once again, they played the same sport their whole lives, same, you know, change of direction, same, you know, up and down, and it's difficult to do things. And, you know, once again, we've got to get guys to understand that there's a system in place, and this is the way, the Xavier way, and the way we do things. Get them, you know, understand the discipline, accountability that we want to hold, and get them to understand what effort is. We have to teach them how to work. Once again, all of our guys have been the best player on their team for years and years and years. Now, all of a sudden, you're Xavier, and everybody's been the best player. So let's take that group and understand that, and, you know, what got you here is your talent. What's going to keep you here is your hard work, your health, your safety, keeping you on the court and not in the training room, you know, not being injured in the doctor's office, et cetera. You know, Coach Fluker does a great job for us, have a great relationship with him, but, you know, my job is to keep his job obsolete. I want to keep our guys out of the training room, on the court. I'm not a basketball coach. I don't want to be, never have been. You know, I'm a strength coach. My job is to keep the guys' health and safety in the weight room, turn them over to the coaches, let them teach them how to play basketball and put them in the right position to be a basketball player. But, you know, our freshmen have done a great job. So we've got four freshmen, obviously, and Karam Cantor is obviously a transfer, so he's been through a college setting before. But once again, each college setting is a little bit different. We may have different demands than what he was used to, different expectations. But phenomenal people, once again, coachable. They've worked hard. I think we've had a really good, productive last 5-6 weeks going our sixth week. But, you know, Xavier Nation can be really proud of how our guys have worked this summer. It's been really well.
All right, give me something. Give me a nugget. Give me something that people miss about the off season and the strength and conditioning program. What question did I not ask that I should have?
You know, the biggest thing we talk about, once again, is recovery. You know, we're going to train our guys hard, and we're not doing anything different, you know, Rick, than anybody else in the country. Every team in the country is training their guys hard. Everybody's doing something very similar, if not, you know, once again, I'm not the best strength coach in the world. I'm not the worst either, but, you know, there's going to be better, you know, people that are better than me, people that are worse than me. I get that. But, you know, once again, we want to have that team identity. We want to have an individual mentality. We want to make sure that we're really good at doing the basics. That's one thing I preach to our guys is that we've got a lot of variety going, and too much variety can be a bad thing. We don't want to get too much variety where we never revisit the same thing over and over again. So we take a lot of pride in being really good at the basics, and that's just fundamentals. Just like in basketball, be good at the fundamentals. The team that are fundamentally sound are usually your better teams. The teams that are fundamentally sound in the weight room, doing the basics and doing them really well with effort, and that's what we are. We really take care of the basics. We're really disciplined, you know, attention to detail, situational awareness, those type things. You know, a good team setting in the weight room. That's what Xavier Nation is going to be proud of, is that, you know, you see it on the court. Our guys cheer each other up. You know, they clap each other up, dap each other up, whatever it may be. They do the same thing in the weight room. It's a good atmosphere. There's a lot of pace, intensity, passion, loud music. You know, I get that. You know, that's going. But our guys are really good teammates. Once again, they're going to be really proud of what our guys do. Like I say, it's a great environment. You guys have done a great job this summer. It's been a good environment, good experience.
You may not be the best strength coach in the world, but you're the best strength coach that's ever been on this podcast, and I appreciate
that. Hey, there you go. Thanks. I appreciate it, Rick.
Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, sir.
All right.